This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants, and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Hey, listeners, I just want to apologize for the audio quality on the first part of this show, this episode. It is only the first part for just a few minutes during my monologue portion. And then when we have our guest, the sound quality is improved dramatically. So please bear with us. Apologize. We will try to make sure it does not happen again. Welcome, listeners from around the world in 164 countries. This is your host, Jason Hartman, episode number 686. Well, I woke to the tragic news this morning, Sunday morning, as many of us did, to the terrorist attack in Orlando, Florida. A 29-year-old Islamic radical went in and killed a bunch of people. He was targeting gays, apparently. These are the early stories coming out. We'll see how this is corrected. We'll see if this guy had contact with the FBI. We'll see what his Afghani ties were. Apparently, he was born in the U.S., Afghani parents. And maybe most interestingly of all, will we see any coverage about him being on antidepressant pharmaceutical drugs, on benzodiazepine-type drugs? These mass shooters, that's the thing they have in common. It's always the prescription drugs. Yet you don't see this stuff covered because look at all those commercials on TV for those pharmaceutical companies. Yes, I know. Very little coverage. Only the alternative media covers this kind of stuff. And then everybody doubts it because they say, well, you know, you can't rely on what TMZ reported. I don't know. Maybe it's a lot more reliable than CNN. Maybe someone knows. Did Donald Trump buy CNN? Here's the reason I ask. That's all they talk about is Trump. I mean, it's mind-boggling. You know, I don't have television, as you may know. I've told you that. I canceled my television a few years ago. I just have internet access in my house, and so I watch streaming services and surf around on the computer. But when I go to a hotel, and I'm on my way to a hotel now because I'm on my way to be driven by my self-driving car, to be driven to San Diego, escape the heat a little bit, and that's a game changer, you know, like I've talked about. Because here I am, it's going to be 102 degrees in Scottsdale, Arizona today, and it's going to be 70 degrees in La Jolla, California today, where I am going. And my car will drive me there almost effortlessly. And imagine when that car is completely autonomous, where I could literally get into the car and go to sleep and go to the much more expensive real estate market that I don't have to pay to live in. And the car will stop along the way and charge itself or fuel itself automatically. And I don't even have to wake up. The whole time I can be driven there, 5.5 hour, 6 hour drive, I'll just wake up in San Diego, to a much nicer climate. Now, listen, Arizona, 8 months of the year, has the best climate on the planet, if you ask me. I love it here, 8 months of the year. It's spectacular, literally spectacular. But of course, in the summer, it's tough. It's hot, but it's a dry heat. So that self-driving car thing will change the game. But I tell you, any back off my tangent, anytime I go to a hotel and I turn on the Communist News Network or the Clinton News Network or the Crisis News Network, you know, CNN. CNN has so little credibility anymore. It's mind-boggling. But not with a large percentage of the population. They still do. So I turn it on, and all they are talking about is Trump this, Trump that, Trump everything else, Donald Trump this, that, and the other thing. Some stupid thing he said. Did he buy that state? Did he buy CNN? Did Ted Turner sell CNN to Donald Trump? You just gotta wonder. You just gotta wonder. But yeah, tragedy, another terrorist attack on U.S. soil. And as terrible as this is, I bet there will be a lot more. So be ready. You don't see this stuff happen in Texas. I wonder if this is ever going to happen in Texas. Is someone going to go into a nightclub in Texas and kill a bunch of people when all those Texans would just pull out their sidearms, because a bunch of them will have them with them, and shoot back? He'll get off a round or two, and then he'll be dead. So, look, I don't want to live in the Wild West. I live in Arizona. I can certainly carry a gun around anytime I want here. It's super easy. You know, no permit needed, but I don't. Or at least I don't often. I'll say that, just in case you might wonder. But yeah, you know, it's tragic. They always pick the places where people aren't armed. You look at Europe, nobody's armed. So that's a prime target. That's where most of this kind of stuff happens. It's really sad. Our world, especially the left is the most guilty of this. The folks on the left, they always attack the symptom and never attack the cause. Attack the cause, not the symptom. That's what you have to really look at. What is the cause? Is it a radical religious ideology? Is it pharmaceutical drugs? Is it immigration control that we need to talk about? I don't know. You know, what is it? I'd love to hear back from you. In fact, if you want to have an intelligent discussion and you're an expert on these subjects in some way, come on the show. I'd love to interview you. It'd be interesting to talk about. Okay, so this is a real estate investing show, right? Yeah, it is. But I'm pretty upset about this, as I'm sure many of you are. So I just thought it was worth a comment and, of course, worth some prayers. But much more than that, it's worth really doing something about on a more political level. So we have to talk about this kind of stuff. But yeah, so let's talk about an investor journey. Let's hear from one of our great clients today who has recently started her journey to build a great real estate portfolio, realizing that the pension system will not solve the problem. Again, more symptom and cause discussion. These pensions are totally overrated. They're going to be debased potentially through inflation. It's a huge concern. So you have got to plan and act and create your own security in the world. That is all any of us can do nowadays. I remember Earl Nightingale talking years ago about the laid off steel workers in the Rust Belt areas. And he would say, or the auto workers in the Detroit area. You know, someone would stick a microphone and a camera in front of one of these people laid off because the plant shut down or they laid off a bunch of workers. Well, I've been doing this 20 years. I don't know anything else. And Earl Nightingale's comment would, you could learn how to do heart surgery in your spare time in 20 years, okay? We have got to take and make our day job simply the stepping stone to our ultimate goal of building a very nice investment real estate portfolio. I have graduated, if you will, in my own portfolio into some bigger things, which are kind of cool and interesting, but they are much more complicated. I still love the humble single-family home. I just bought a couple more of those myself. I'm going to be buying more as I go down my own path of undiversifying. I freely admitted one of the mistakes I've made is that I've over-diversified. So I'm trying to be a little less diversified. If I can get myself down to like 7 markets, 5 would be even better, but 7 would be great. Lucky 7. 7 different real estate markets between my apartment complex holdings, mobile home park, single family home holdings. I would be super happy about that. Again, your mind can remember 3 to 5 things really easily. You can keep track of that in your head and really know what's going on with your portfolio. So don't over-diversify, but do be diversified. Remember, part of the 10 Commandments. And then the next 10 Commandments. And by the way, we're going to be playing on some future episodes here, some recent live recordings where I've updated some of this stuff, and I think you'll enjoy that. I know you've told me you've enjoyed the past recordings, but we update this stuff. When we do these live events, there's a new spin, some new details, some new distinctions on it. We're also going to analyze an interesting duplex with our guest here today, a Balboa Island duplex. That's in Newport Beach, California. See if you like that deal. Let me tell you about some of the other great shows we've got coming up. Gosh, we've got so many in the can now. For a while there, we were a little short on inventory. We're going to be talking about retirement risk and how to plan around uncertainty for a successful retirement. That'll be with Jamie Hopkins. We're going to talk about a heist in the Federal Reserve with Matthew Quirk. Kevin Maney is going to be here from Newsweek, talking about how to play bigger, how pirates, dreamers, and innovators create and dominate markets. We're going to talk about, we got a little more, another interview on the Chinese market, talking about breaking ground and Chinese investment in U.S. real estate. Arthur Margon from Rosen Consulting Group and the Asia Society. We've got John R. Lott coming back, which, by the way, I opened up talking about the gun control silliness. It really is. It just doesn't make intellectual sense. And intellectual honesty is in short supply today. But we're not going to talk about that. It just so happens the author of that great book, More Guns, Less Crime, John R. Lott, will be with us to talk about economics and how do we regain control of our future. He writes for the American Enterprise Institute and Fox News. We've got Congressman Dr. Paul Brown with us to talk about economics and the Constitution, flat tax, job growth, and more. Yeah, we got some good stuff coming up. So really some interesting shows, a lot more than that. So anyway, let's get to our guest. Let's talk to one of our clients, Michelle, who recently attended our Cincinnati, Ohio market, Cincinnati sort of Dayton in between market tour and Creating Wealth seminar. And she's got some good comments for you on that. Visit HartmanEducation.com and check out some of our great educational products there that go into a lot of this stuff in more structured, detailed manner. That's at HartmanEducation.com. And of course, properties at JasonHartman.com. And we will be announcing another event soon. We're working on that now, so stay tuned for that as well on future episodes. And let's get to our guest and talk to Michelle. Hey, I wanted to welcome one of our clients to the show, and she's a newer client, but a longtime listener to the podcast, and that is Michelle from the San Francisco Bay Area. Michelle, how are you?
I'm great, Jason. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us. And you are a musician, so you've got a very nice microphone, and you sound great.
Thank you.
This is a totally professional interview here, folks. I'm sure I sound terrible compared to Michelle, so, unfortunately, that's not supposed to, I think it's supposed to be the other way around. But you joined us for our last Meet the Masters event last January, and then for our Ohio property tour and Creating Wealth seminar recently. How do you like it?
I loved it, and I would absolutely recommend it to anyone who's out there listening. If you're on the fence and you're wondering if this real estate investing is for real, I just would recommend that you go to an event because you'll meet people. And you'll see that there are real people who are actually doing it, and that it's not a scam. It's actually a real thing, and it works. And there's a lot of people out there doing it and doing very well.
Yeah, thanks for mentioning that. I really want to encourage listeners to come to events. At least come to one. So you'll get to meet us and know what we're all about and meet our clients. It would be much easier, Michelle, and everybody listening, for us to just be sort of this online
business, right? Where we didn't do live events. Live events are a loss leader for us. They're not profitable by the time you make it all happen and promote it and so forth. But they are profitable for us in the sense that once people come to events and meet other, more important than meeting me or our team of investment counselors and our staff, whoever happens to be at that event, it's meeting the actual people, the other listeners to the show, the other clients, hearing their stories and the good and the bad and the ugly. It's not all roses by any means. And I don't know, Michelle, either of the, are those the only two events you've been to? Masters and then this last Ohio property tour?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Masters was my first event.
Did you hear any horror stories?
Not at Masters, no, but I did meet a lot of really wonderful and interesting people and got to hear, you know, where they were in their investment journey. And it just really gave me confidence to actually pull the trigger because, you know, it's scary.
Yeah. And you're sort of the typical kind of investor that we have. I'd say the largest section of our clients are people that are in your similar situation. They've got a home that's appreciated. They've got a lot of equity in it, as do you. It's that old concept. We used to have this ad. It was a great looking ad. I wish I could find the image. We hired an illustrator to make it and everything. And it was when really the vast majority of our clients were from California, because that's where I started out. It said, turn your castle, meaning your home, into a kingdom. And it had, and it, the idea was harvest the equity from your highly appreciated home or your paid down mortgage that you've been sitting on for years, either one, and diversify it around the country into these much more sensible, stable, linear markets. So you have the best of both worlds. You still control that asset. You still own it. You know, just refi that money out and buy some other income properties that make sense, that actually work. You wanted to talk about that and pensions and so forth. And I love how you say, because as we were off air before we started, you talked about this whole idea that is so ingrained in society. And of course, it's ingrained because Wall Street has lobbied Congress. And they've had laws passed. I don't know how much of they were behind ERISA, but probably a lot back in the 70s. And they've been promoting these ideas for decades of that we've got to sock all our money away in the stock market rather than use it today in a, I think you could use it in a much better fashion, and wait till you're 59 and a half or 70 to enjoy it. What did you say about that? Share that with the listeners. I thought that was a really good thought.
Well, it's just this idea that your hard-earned money doesn't really belong to you, and that the government's basically saying, you know, oh, we'll let you put your money away so that you can have it when you're 70. Right. Rather than like as if that money doesn't belong to you in the first place, that you didn't earn it. Right. So why should you be able to enjoy it during the prime of your life? Right. When you have, you know, the energy and vitality to travel the world or do whatever you want to do. But instead, they're saying, no, you know, you should really just stick that away where you can't touch it without great penalties. And we'll just let you have some of it when you're 70.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that a good idea, though? I'll just play devil's advocate with you for a moment. The government encourages people to save money for their future rather than the government taking more in taxes and then promising to give it back to us later when we don't have an income, right? Or where do you come down on that?
Well, that's sort of nanny statism, right? It's the idea that you are not intelligent enough to do something good with your money. Or, you know, if you want to do something more aggressive or something more clever with your money, you know, that they don't encourage that, right? They just encourage you to do the simple, safe, boring, and actually really not effective thing with your money. I mean, the reason why I'm here, Jason, is because I did the math. You know, and you know, when I finally got this tenure track position, and I was in a place where I could really step back and look at the bigger financial picture of my life, I was curious, you know, where am I going to be at retirement? And I looked at my pension and I did a bunch of projections. And when you take into account inflation, it's not pretty. it's not what people think it's going to be. And then I looked at, you know, socking away the max in, you know, 403B and in an IRA, Roth or normal. And you add all of that up, you know, say maybe the stock market is going to do 8%. And then you take into account inflation and the fact that that money will be taxed at income as income, right?
When you withdraw it. And look, nobody listening would be dumb enough to think that tax rates will be lower.
Right.
But because Michelle, here's the thing. Like, the way I heard that pitch to me many years ago is that, look, when you retire, you're going to be in a lower tax bracket.
Right.
And I'm thinking, that on its face is such a messed up idea. The idea is that I'm going to retire and be poorer than I am now. I hope I'm going to be a lot richer than I am today when I retire.
Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. So just that part of it first is wrong, but also the fact that the government is so dysfunctional and so broke that the idea that tax rates will actually be lower, the thing they're saying is that under the current tax scheme, that yes, if you're making a lot of money today in the prime of your career and you're working hard and you're in your peak earning years, and then when you retire, you live more modestly, which who wants that idea, right? But whatever, we'll take that on its face and let it go. And your income will be lower, so your tax bracket will be lower. Well, yeah, but first of all, the tax scheme doesn't, it's a dynamic thing. And as the government gets more broke, they tax more. So that's the first problem with that theory. And then the second problem is, who wants to be poorer in the future?
Exactly.
It's crazy. Yeah. It makes no sense. Yeah. So if you do, let's talk about that math you did for a minute. So if the S&P does 8%, for example,
I don't know. Do you think it's going to do 8% in the foreseeable? It's so overvalued currently. It's inflated due to money printing. I don't know.
Right. Of course. But that's a complex discussion to have. But if we say someone listening is 30 years old right now, and for the next three decades, do you think the S&P will average 8%? God, I don't know. But let's just give them that. Let's say it does average 8%. Okay?
Sure.
And let's say that real, I'm not talking about fake manipulated inflation rates, but real inflation over that same course of time. Okay. Now, you know, Michelle, that when I presented the inflation-induced debt destruction concept last weekend in Ohio at the Creating Wealth Seminar, inflation from 1972 to 2001 in that 30-year mortgage period, any one of the millions of people that had three-decade-long mortgages at fixed rates back then, inflation averaged 5.3%. In official numbers, this is what the government told us it was, which is always they're estimating lower, okay? The CPI said 5.3%. And I think you can assume that whatever the official number is, you can conservatively add 50% to that. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you argue with me if you want. Maybe, you know, some people would say you can make it double, that if the government said it was 5.3 on average, then it was 10.6. I'm not going that far.
The fact that they don't take into account energy, which everyone uses and has to use, you don't have a choice, and food, you know, all you have to do is be the person who drives and goes shopping in your household, and you know that it's all a lie.
Right. But the distinction is, though, that's in the core rate of inflation. That's not the CPI. Okay, so in the CPI, they do count that stuff, but they manipulate the hell out of it.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah. It's not real.
Right, it's not real. Of course it's not real. We know that for sure. You know, any sophisticated person knows the government is lying about, they're manipulating the inflation rate massively. So let's just say that over the next three decades, the S&P does 8% and in real inflation is 7.5%. Okay? 7.5. Or, you know, assume it's lower. Say it's 5%.
I did 4% and was still horrified.
Right. Well, yeah. Okay. And did you do 8% on the S&P?
Yes.
Okay.
And I've just plugged it into some, you know, there's some great online calculators you can find.
Sure. Yeah.
So I just plugged in all these different scenarios and was shocked.
Yeah. Okay. So here's why Michelle is shocked, I think. Okay. I'm going to just tell me if I'm wrong. You were shocked because if it's 4% inflation and 8% return on your funds in the S&P, then you're going to get taxed either if you convert that into a Roth, you're going to get taxed immediately, or later you're going to get taxed when you start to withdraw. And the tax rate will probably be much higher. But look, you live in my former home state, the Socialist Republic of California, and I love what you say. You say, it's lonely being a libertarian in San Francisco.
It really is. And it's, but it's shocking because you would think, you know, with all the supposed free thinkers that, you know, these ideas would have more traction out here, but
well, you know,
it is what it is.
Yeah. Right. That's very true. So your tax rate is probably going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 40 to 45% when you include
all
state
inclusive,
and federal. Right. Yeah. And then there are a bunch of other taxes we won't even talk about. So you're going to pay just round it. Say you're going to pay 40% of that. You're hardly making any gain.
You're not making any.
Yeah.
You're treading water.
Right. You have inflation at 4%, you have return at 8%, and then you pay 40% in taxes when you take withdrawals and distributions later. The whole thing just doesn't work. you're absolutely right. It doesn't work. So that's what attracted you to real estate investing, right?
Well, when I realized that, I just, you know, said, well, there just has to be another solution. So I just, you know, I literally went to the library and checked out every book I could find on investing, you know, stocks and real estate. And I just looked up every podcast I could find and just started learning. And I stumbled across yours and just kept coming back to it over and over again. And really started thinking about it and learning about it, and it's the only way.
Yeah. What books did you look at and read? And any recommendations? Good, bad, ugly? I'd like to hear about that if you remember which ones.
The ones that I ended up liking the best?
Yeah, or the ones that you didn't like too.
Well, yeah, you know, whatever. I started out, you know, looking at stocks, so of course I, you know, there's, you know, the Intelligent Investor.
Right. Famous book.
One that supposedly it's Warren Buffett's book or the one that influenced him.
Right.
Value investing. So I was trying to figure out, you know, what's all this value investing? Mm-hmm. And I read Tom Vogel. What's the Vanguard guy? Bogle.
I think that
Jack
is.
Jack Bogle,
yeah.
The little book of investing.
Right.
And basically, the more I learned about it, the more I learned that you cannot beat the index, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of the common wisdom now.
That's the Random Walk Down Wall
right?
Street concept.
I read
that
one.
That is a very
right?
famous book, yeah.
And, you know, you can't beat the index. So that's the best you can do is find a no-load index fund.
Right. Wah, and that's wah, the Vanguard wah, philosophy.
You know? Yeah.
Right. If you're going to be in stocks, I don't totally disagree with that. I just think you're in the wrong thing if you're in stocks. So, you know, but conceptually, I think that's what's hilarious about all these people spinning their wheels on Wall Street. They all think they're going to beat the index. They're going to beat the high frequency traders. They're going to beat the professionals that live, eat, and breathe this stuff. It's all they do. It's their whole life. And they can't beat the indexes. It's like a, nope. It's hilarious.
The hedge fund managers
that's
can't.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Right. Warren Buffett's right. going to win his bet.
That's what I'm saying. It's hilarious that people actually can talk about this stuff with a straight face. You know, it's just mind boggling to me. Yeah. So you came to the conclusion after all of that stuff that, that real estate was the thing. Do you have a second best favorite?
For real estate? Oh, gosh.
After real estate.
Oh, you mean for investing or for books?
Yeah, no, for investing or books, either one. I was talking about investing when I asked the question, but either.
I mean, of course, there's Rich Dad, Poor Dad is the classic. I read that many years ago. And then there's so many on real estate investing. And I am drawing a blank. William Nickerson's book?
Oh, that's great. That's a classic old stuff. Bill Nickerson, William Nickerson. I think he started writing books about it in the late 50s. Oh, no, he was before that. Oh. Yeah, it was like late 50s, or at least his story started in the late 50s, one or the other. It's a great story. He's got one, I think his really famous one is called How I Turned $1,000 into $1 million in my spare time in real estate or some crazy thing like
yes,
that.
Yes.
And that guy was legit, you know, he did the real thing. But keep in mind, that he was doing that in a different environment. There was a lot of inflation that he benefited from during some periods of his investing career. So that was part of it. But yeah, his stuff's great. It's just you have to add a zero to everything. That's all. Mm-hmm. You know. I remember when I was hearing a synopsis on an audiobook of his story, and the narrator said, and he bought his first property for, wait for it, and it was like $7,000. You know, or something like that. And it was in Redondo Beach, California. I'm kidding. I don't know where it was, but it was in some high-end area, sort of. And that's a funny story. But yeah, Bill Nickerson's great. He was really one of the first, I think. Mm-hmm. To contrast that, you want to hear about an amazing deal, Michelle. Tell me what you think of this deal. Now that you are an educated investor, I got one in my former hometown, Orange County, California. This is in this really charming area called Balboa Island. Okay. You might be looking at this because I showed you where it was in that Facebook group. This property is a duplex on Balboa Island. I wonder what the listeners are going to think of this deal. You know, if you're interested, contact us. We can help you buy this property. Okay. Because, you know, we are a California licensed company. Okay. So here you go. You ready? The price. Well, before I tell you the price, let me tell you some other stuff about it. It's two units. Okay. So the total size of the building for both units is 4,579 square feet. And the price per, it was built back in 1976, two stories. It's 100% occupied. Both sides are occupied. And the price per unit, this will give away the overall price, obviously, is $1,750,000 per unit. So it's $3.5 million for the duplex. And the gross rent multiplier, we really never talk about this one as a metric, but it's so mind-boggling that I thought I'd share it. It's 54.01 is the gross rent multiplier. And that gives you a cap rate of, like they said in the William Nickerson book, wait for it, 0.56% cap rate. 0.56. Now, all of you listeners who understand this, or you've gone to jasonhartman.com and clicked on properties and looked at the performas, you'll see cap rates anywhere from probably 7 to 12% in that range, okay? And most of them will be around 8 to 9%. Yeah. Something in there, right? So this cap rate is it's less than one. Okay. It's 0.65 or 56%. I cannot believe how terrible this deal is.
But it's in California.
Oh yeah, that's right. That must be
magical golden land.
Oh yes, yes. Magical golden land. I love it. Yeah. So here's the income on this property is $64,800. And the operating expenses are $43,427, leaving an NOI, a net operating income. Look, if you invest $3.5 million, this is going to be your NOI, your net operating income. It's going to be $19,430.
Sign me up, Jason.
Yeah, but here's the funny thing. Lots of people will buy this kind of thing all day long. I mean, maybe not quite as bad as this one, but lots of beachfront duplexes. And this isn't even on the beachfront, by the way. I know what street this is on. I'm very familiar with it. A lot of these, beach area properties sell for these ridiculous, they're just terrible deals. And look, you live in the San Francisco Bay Area. I mean, you got this kind of stuff all over the place. In fact, if we did the same type of analysis on the house in which you live, because you told me about it, I bet it's not too far from this one, you know, in terms of the cost to buy it versus the income it would produce, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. And these people that buy this stuff actually call themselves investors. It's hilarious.
Well, are they just looking for a place to store their money in dollars, right? A lot of that.
A lot of those are Chinese buyers,
right?
They and just other want foreign buyers. Yeah.
A store for their money. Yeah. They don't even care. So
yeah, that's kind of true. I mean, that's a good point. In a world of negative interest rates, where in some places you literally have to pay the bank to hold your money, and if it's here in the U.S., you barely get paid for the bank to give you money. I opened up a couple of accounts at another bank just to stay under the FDIC limit. It's a great problem to have. I love that problem. But I actually got a thank you note. I couldn't believe it. after opening the account, and I think it's because the woman liked my dog so much, but I don't know. They used to give you gifts like toasters and stuff when you open bank accounts, but not anymore. it's like they're doing you a favor for keeping your money. I guess that's the way you can look at this property. Yeah, that's about what it is. But it does have a corner lot.
Well then.
So there you go. Yeah, unbelievable. What else should we talk about? Anything? How about more of the, do you want to talk any more about the fears of doing this and that type of thing, Michelle?
Sure.
Yeah, you know, some of the concerns you've had and some of the things that have gone through your mind.
Well, you know, I'm sure it's similar to what a lot of people are thinking, like, well, what if the tenants destroy the place, or what if they don't pay, you know, vacancy and all of these things. And that definitely is a concern. And so that's why I decided to come to some events, because I wanted to be able to just vet the entire process. That's what's great about Meet the Masters, is that you meet a lot of different providers. And, you know, you can kind of get a sense from their presentation as to how organized they are. But then beyond that, so my first property is in Memphis. And so I actually went to Memphis for a day, and it's worth it. It's worth the plane ticket to go there for a day just to see the operation and know that it's real, right? The properties are real. The company is legitimate. You meet the people that you're going to be working with virtually, you know, moving forward.
And so that's a great idea. You know, that's not one of our events, but go and meet with our providers in one of our markets. Have, you know, just fly out there and have them drive you around and show you their operation, their properties, go see their office, meet their staff, meet their team. This stuff's for real.
Mm-hmm. And I can tell you from Cincinnati that we were just blown away with the provider there. She's awesome. And I think she sold a lot of properties just based on just what a fantastic businesswoman she is.
Yeah, so. She really is. She's very good. Very good. She does a great job. No question about it. You know, other operators in other markets, they do a great job too. Maybe not as nice an event as that one, but they run fantastic businesses. Like, I just bought two more properties in Memphis. And last year, I bought another two properties in Memphis from a different provider we have there. So we have a couple different local market specialists. And now I've purchased two from each in the last year and a half. It's interesting. They both do a great job in a different way. They have different personalities and different ways of doing things. And that's part of that whole embrace the fragmentation concept. But yeah, phenomenal. And I was really pleased that I got properties as good as I did, because I got to tell you, I was in fear that that wouldn't happen given the dwindling inventory challenge.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what surprised me when I started doing this, when I was actually shopping and was going to pull the trigger, was that it's actually competitive, right? You do need to be able to make up your mind very quickly, because if you don't, someone else will. And actually, that actually gives me some pause, because it makes me think, well, why is everyone in such a hurry? Or why aren't people taking a little bit longer to do their due diligence? But I think once you get to a certain point in your investing, you don't need to. You know, you just know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's the first time is the hardest. And after that, you just kind of get a sense of it, and it's really not that big a deal. But yeah, you know, you just know. And you might miss a couple of properties and lose them, and just try not to get too discouraged. And then, you know, another one will come along. That's really all you can say. But yeah, good stuff. Well, hey, this has been great having you share some of your experience and some of your thoughts on the show, Michelle. Thank you so much for doing that. Do you have any particular plans or goals for your investing? I know you're kind of a planner, so I thought I'd ask you that question.
Well, we're in the process of doing a cash out refi on the house. And
Oh, good idea. Yep. Good idea.
Got a great rate. It's locked in. So just waiting for that to close. And then I'm going to go shopping for some properties. I'm hoping to get my first 10 loans done this year. And then after that, we can do another 10 for my husband. So.
Yeah, that's great that you can do 10 loans each, and you're both working.
Yes.
With great jobs, by the way. And so that's a perfect plan, 10 loans each, and hopefully that'll loosen up in the future to where you can even do more loans. You know what seems so crazy to me is that really, if you think about it from a lender's perspective, they should feel more secure making loans on sensible, prudent income properties to borrowers than they should about loaning people money on their own home. Because on their own home, they have no income. You know, that's just a completely risky deal, if you ask me. If people get laid off from their job or get into financial trouble one way or another, their own home is the hardest one to support because it doesn't have the income. The investment properties, the tenant is paying the debt for you. Now, Not with that duplex on Balboa Island, mind you, but not even close. But on sensible ones, it is, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. So 10 loans each, and then onward and upward from there, maybe even more, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. No, the goal is to, 40, 50, something like that.
Fantastic. Yeah. Good job.
I don't want to retire to the state teacher's pension.
Yeah. That, you're not into that? You don't think that's a good deal?
I don't know. It's that it's going to be there.
Well, I think.
I mean, it. You know, yeah. Who knows?
That's a very valid concern. I think people in Chicago or Illinois in general are feeling that, and in California, I think there's good cause to think that too. You know, there's no security. You got to make your own security in the world, especially nowadays. So, do that, and do that by planning and acting, and not relying on the government or anybody else for your security. Good, Michelle. Thank you so much for sharing this today. I appreciate it, and happy investing to you.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
I've never really thought of Jason as subversive, but I just found out that's what Wall Street considers him to be.
Really? Now, how is that possible at all?
Simple. Wall Street believes that real estate investors are dangerous to their schemes because the dirty truth about income property is that it actually works in real life.
I know. I mean, how many people do you know, not including insiders, who created wealth with stocks, bonds, and mutual funds? Those options are for people who only want to pretend they're getting ahead.
Stocks and other non-direct traded assets are a losing game for most people. The typical scenario is you make a little, you lose a little, and spin your wheels for decades.
That's because the corporate crooks running the stock and bond investing game will always see to it that they win. This means, unless you're one of them, you will not win.
And unluckily for Wall Street, Jason has a unique ability to make the everyday person understand investing the way it should be. He shows them a world where anything less than a 26% annual return is disappointing.
Yep, and that's why Jason offers a one-book set on creating wealth that comes with 20 digital download audios. He shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I like how he teaches you how to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
And this set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered for only $197.
To get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia Book 1, complete with over 20 hours of audio, go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartman.com. HartmanMedia.com or email media@HartmanMedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc. exclusively.